Hare Krishna. So welcome everyone for our Saturday evening satsang program. Thank you for joining all the virtual participants for joining through conference call or joining through Facebook Live, whatever is convenient for you. So as we know, this whole situation is still continuing. In US especially, it's still the same scenario, a lot of cases on a daily basis, a lot of death rate on daily basis. So people are forced to stay inside the houses. The lockdown continues, the self-quarantine process continues. But we are fortunate enough to continue our satsang program virtually. So we continue to get the association of devotees, we continue to hear Krishna Katha, we continue to participate in chanting of the holy name. So thank you very much for participating on daily basis in all these wonderful spiritual activities. That is our only hope for us to continue to maintain ourselves, taking the shelter of the holy name, taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So today we'll be continuing our study of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. We'll be moving into the fifth chapter of second canto. So we'll start with the invocation prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirait Nashta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttamam Tamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Neshtiki Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradhayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurahatshe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you. So, last time in our Srimad Bhagavatam study, we were discussing Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Srila Shukdev Goswami that what is this process of creation? How does the Lord create this whole universe? How does he maintain it? And how does he annihilate it? So I want to know about Lord's Srishti Leela. And then Shukdev Goswami, in answer to those questions, first of all, he took an opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord, requesting the Supreme Lord to give him the ability to speak, empower his speech to speak about the glories of the Lord, to speak about the different pastimes of the Lord. In one sense, taking the permission of the Lord to speak, because we ourselves have no ability on our own to glorify the Lord, to say something about the Supreme Lord. It's all because of the permission, the mercy, the ability given by the Lord. So Shukdev Goswami glorified the Supreme Lord. And after all those prayers, Shukdev Goswami described that long back, Srila Narad Dev also asked the same question to Lord Brahma. So Narad Dev also once asked the same question to Brahmaji, that I want to know about this whole Srishti, how this whole universe created. Who creates this whole universe? How does it, it's created, it's maintained, and it's annihilated? So I'm going to speak to you the same description, what Narad Muni asked and how Lord Brahma answered those questions. So it goes back, again, this is parampara system, describing what is being heard from the previous spiritual master. So describing the same thing without doing our own concoction. So whatever we are speaking is based on what has been described in scripture, what has been commented by the Guru Parampara. So Narad Muni, once upon a time, he inquired from Brahmaji, he asked Brahmaji, that, O chief among the demigods, O firstborn living entity, you are Savambhu, you are born by yourself, you are the firstborn living entity. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me this transcendental knowledge, which specifically directs one to the spiritual realization, which directs oneself to the knowledge of the soul and super soul. Jiske dwara Bhagwan apne atma aur parmatma ke swaroop ke bare mein gyan hota hai. आप कृपया मुझे वो ज्ञान प्रदान कीजिए. सो प्लीज टेल मी दैट नॉलेज. एंड देन ही आस्क्ड स्पेसिफिकली व्हाट इज दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड, हाउ इज दिस क्रिएटेड एंड हाउ इज इट मेंटेन्ड एंड अंडर हूज डायरेक्शन दिस इज ऑल कैरिड आउट. सो नारद मुनि इज आस्किंग सेम वेरी स्पेसिफिक क्वेश्चन, अंडर हूज डायरेक्शन दिस होल material world is created, maintained, and annihilated. Now we may think, why Narad Muni is asking such question? To some degree, we may think that we all know the answer to this question, that Bhagwan ne puri srishti ko banaya, the Supreme Lord created the whole material world, all these universes, and he is maintaining, and he destroys it at the end of its creation, it's when the purpose is done. So he is the one behind all these activity. So even to some extent, we may think, I know the answer to these questions. But why Narad Muni is asking such question? Does he not know these answers? He is a very advanced authority on the scripture. He is the guru of great, great personalities. We know he is the guru of great Prahlad Maharaj. He is the guru of Dhruva Maharaj. He is the guru of all the some of the great, great sages like Vyasa Dev. He is the guru of Valmiki, who was originally a hunter, Ratnakar. He is the guru of Mrighari, the hunter. So all sort of people, very advanced people and to the lowest like the hunters, they are all disciples of Narad Muni. Being a such an advanced authority on scripture, why Narad Muni will ask such simple question. Because Narad Muni is setting an example for us to understand how to first of all acquire knowledge and who is the supreme authority, the supreme creator and maintainer behind all these universes. So Narad Muni asked this very specific question. Please tell me who is behind this creation, who is the maintainer and who destroys it. And he goes on to glorify Brahmaji. First of all, he gives a due glorification to Brahmaji. Now, what is the reason? Because Narad, first of all, is son of Brahma and he is also disciple of Brahma. So being in a position of son and disciple of Brahmaji, it is his duty, his responsibility to first of all say some words of glorification for his guru. So he says, whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, and whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within this universe, is everything within your grip, just like an amla. So he gives the example of, as an amla kept on a palm of somebody's hand, it is perfectly in the grip of that person. So seems like this whole creation, whatever is created in the past, being created in present, or whatever will be created in future, is all under your control. To me, it seems like you are the creator. You are the one behind all this creation. You are the one who creates effortlessly this whole universe. As sometime a spider, he very easily creates the network of the cobweb. Spider takes out the spit from his mouth, and using that, he creates that cobweb. So the spider creates it without any external endeavor, external influences, and then he withdraws it within himself. So as a spider creates effortlessly, so this is how the scriptures define, the spider creates without much effort. So we don't know how much effort the spider does in that actually. But as a spider creates without any external agency, seems like you, O Brahma, that you are the creator who is creating everything effortlessly without any external help. So you are also employed by your own self-sufficient energy. You create without any other's help. So nothing is created from any other source other than your own lordship. So you are so great that you are creating everything. So he is giving due respect to Brahmaji. Being a disciple of Brahma, he is glorifying. And the principle of glorification, we should understand what is the principle of glorification. It's one's duty to give due respect to one's own guru. Because we say guru is as good as the Supreme Lord. The scriptural injunction is the guru is as good as the Supreme Lord. But it doesn't say anywhere that guru is God. It says guru is as good as God. He should be given the same due respect as somebody will offer to the spiritual to the Supreme Lord. So one should offer the same respect to one's guru. So Narad is offering that respect. And as we hear the other prayer also, right? Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara. That Guru is like Brahma, Guru is like Vishnu, Guru is like Mahadev, Lord Shiva. Guru Sakshat Param Brahma Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Guru is the representative of the Supreme Lord. He is as good as the Supreme Lord. To such Guru, I offer my respectful obeisances. So Guru is to be respected as the Supreme Lord, but Guru is never God. If Guru himself start claiming himself to be God, one should immediately understand he is a bogus Guru. Because a bona fide Guru, a genuine Guru will never claim himself to be God. But the so-called Gurus, some Babas, some Sadhus, as they get little praise in the society, they get little powerful, some name and fame, some followers, they start claiming themselves as the Supreme Lord. Hum Bhagwan ke avatar hain. So one should immediately understand he is a bogus guru. And same way one should understand there are different types of guru. Right? The first category of guru is one who gives us direction, who shows us direction to come in this path of spiritual life. And then there is Siksha Guru who gives us knowledge, who equips us with the right knowledge of the scriptures to make progress in spiritual life. So that is called Siksha Guru. And then Diksha Guru who gives us initiation into the chanting of holy name, who gives us the formal initiation. So both Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, both are important. Siksha Guru is who is guiding us step by step in the process, giving us knowledge. And Diksha Guru is who gives us initiation, connects us with the Supreme Lord through this chain of disciplic succession. So Diksha works on the subtle mind and intelligence, and Siksha works on our consciousness. So Diksha works on the unconsciousness state of mind, and the Siksha works on the conscious state of mind. It gives us the right direction. Both are important. But if the Siksha Guru start claiming, see, you don't need a Diksha Guru, I am all in all, I am your everything for you, even after taking Diksha, that is just formality, just listen to me, I will guide you for everything and anything, so just consider me everything as good as Diksha Guru itself, that is also not right. Sometime some devotee who play the role of Siksha Guru, or who play the role of our guide as a mentor, they sometimes take the role of that, oh, I am just equal to your Diksha Guru. Just hear my words, follow my words. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita. And end of Bhagavad Gita, what does Lord Krishna say? He is not forcing Arjuna to accept everything blindly. He still maintains his independence. He guides Arjuna what is good and what is bad, but he gives him the choice to act on his own free will. Yatha Ichha Tatha Kuru. That is what Lord Krishna spoke at the end. You do as you like. I have given you all the information, all the knowledge. Now you can act as you like. He does not force Arjuna, Karishye Vachanam Mama. He never says Karishye Vachanam Mama. That do as I say. There is a independence given, free will given. Krishna says, Arjuna himself then says, Karishye Vachanam Tava. That is Arjuna's statement, Karishye Vachanam Tava. I will do as you say. But if somebody starts claiming Karishye Vachanam Mama, that is also very wrong philosophy. It's like somebody is taking away your free will, forcing you that just listen to me, do as I say, become like a robot. So yes, Guru's role is very important. We have different people in our life to guide us. Padpratakshma Guru, Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, everybody plays a very important role in our life to make spiritual progress. And we should understand that. And Guru should be given due respect. One should offer respect to his Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru at all different levels. One should offer respect. So Narada is offering respect to Brahmaji, glorifying him based on whatever he is observing. That Brahma is the one who is engaged in the process of creation, and he is glorifying Brahma like that. But what does Brahma do after hearing that glorification? That is very important to understand. So Brahma, after hearing the glorification, he immediately did not start feeling that pride in his heart. See, my disciple, my son, he understand my glory. He understand who am I? What is my position? And Brahma answered to Narad Muni accordingly. So in this world also, there are many people who may be very glorious, who may seem to be having the same sort of qualities as the Supreme Lord. But they can never become God. They cannot never assume the position of God. And they act accordingly, knowing their position perfectly well. For example, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was also a very great righteous king. Yudhishthira Maharaj, it's described in Bhagavatam and Mahabharata that Yudhishthira Maharaj was such a great king that he ruled his kingdom so nicely like Lord Ram. He maintained all his citizens, all his praja, just like Lord Ram, as Lord Ram had Ram Rajya. So Yudhishthira Maharaj also established kind of Ram Rajya. But it doesn't mean that we start considering Yudhishthira Maharaj at the level of Lord Ram, that he has become like Lord Ram. And he also understand his position perfectly. And same time, we hear about the pastime of Yamadutas who were bewildered because of the instructions or the words spoken by Vishnu Dutas. And they went back to Yamaraj and they told Yamaraj that we were thinking you are the supreme authority. Everything is under your control. The death is under your control. But now we are bewildered. Who are these Vishnu Dutas? And at that time, Yamaraj, even though the Yamadutas are glorifying Yamaraj, he knew his position perfectly well, and he answered to the Yamadutas that I am but just a servant of Lord Vishnu. So even though somebody may be very great personality, but they stay grounded, they know perfectly well what is their real position. So Narad Muni, when he described the qualities or the glories of Brahma, but then further, Narad Muni added one more thing, that even though we are seeing all your glorification, that you are engaged in this wonderful process of creation, but is there somebody existing more powerful than you? Because when we think of your great austerities, we are put into bewilderment. Even though your good self is so powerful in this matter of creation, but then we also see sometimes you performing great austerities. So that is bringing up a question in my mind. Is there somebody more powerful than you? So now Narad Muni is putting his actual question. So earlier he glorified Brahma, but now he is asking that even though you are also meditating on somebody, so it looks like there is somebody more powerful than you, somebody superior than you. If you are the supreme, you must not be trying to do these austerities to please somebody. So if you are also trying to do austerities, means you are trying to please somebody. So is there somebody superior than you, and I will like to know about that person. So now he is coming to the point. So my dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you working? Under whose protection are you standing? Under whom are you working? So what is your real position? Do you create everything without any external help by your own self? Or there is somebody else who is helping you in this whole process of creation? So that is the real question. Right? Because all of us also brought and taken birth in that Sanatan Dharma Hindu family and born and brought up in that culture, we are taught from beginning that there is Trimurti, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Brahma is the creator. He is the one who does the whole creation. And Vishnu is the one who does the role of maintenance. And Lord Shiva is the one who does the role of destruction. So there is Trimurti, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, and Brahma is the creator. So Narad Muni is bringing to that point for clarify our that concept, is Brahma really the independent creator? Yes, Brahma may be the creator, but is he the independent creator or is he the only primary creator? So Narada put forward that question, and after hearing that question, Brahma started speaking. So after hearing all these words of Narada, Brahma first of all thanked Narada. Thank you very much. You are being very compassionate towards me. Because of your question, I am inspired to meditate on my master. Not just meditate on my master, but I am taking that opportunity to glorify my master, glorify the Supreme Lord. So that is how the spiritual master or anybody speaking on behalf of spiritual masters, speaking on these scriptures, that's how one should act. When somebody glorifies, gives this glorification, one should not start thinking, yes, I am so great, I can speak. But one should think, see, I am given the opportunity to remember the Supreme Lord. I am given the opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord. And at the same time, one should not just nullify everything. Oh, no, 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 I am nothing. I am, why you are glorifying me? In the heart, one is feeling, yes, I am worthy of glorification. But externally saying all those things doesn't make us humble. Accepting that words, if somebody has given you some due respect, accepting that, thanking them that you have given me the opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord, to remember the Supreme Lord. So Brahma acted in proper position, thanked Narada for his compassionate question to giving the opportunity to Brahma to speak about the Supreme Lord. And he is saying, whatever you have spoken is not wrong, because this is not your fault. People who are covered by the Maya potency of the Supreme Lord, that's how they think. They think that I am the creator. So if we are thinking Brahma is the creator, Brahma is saying you are covered with Maya. Because people who are covered by the Maya potency of the Lord, they think I am the creator. And one very beautiful example to understand that is, if somebody goes to a theater to watch a 3D movie, as they enter into the theater, they are given a 3D glass. Right? When the movie starts, put on these 3D glasses. So after putting the 3D glasses, what is happening? You are put into Maya. Illusion. Because after putting those 3D glasses, what is somebody experiencing is some object feels like it is coming towards you. Right? Whatever is shown on the screen, you think, oh, it's right in front of me and somebody is raising the hand, moving the hand to hold on to that object. Some sharp object is coming. It looks like it's coming to me to hit me. So one is acting in that way, moving the hands, moving the body in that way. But somebody is standing at little distance who is not wearing those 3D glasses, who is not put into that illusion. He is looking at all these people and thinking, what are these people doing? Why they're moving their hands like this? What are they trying to do? So that is what Brahma is saying. See, people who are put into illusion, they think like that I am the creator. But somebody who is not put into that illusion, not covered up by the Maya potency of the Lord, he can perfectly understand what is my role in this and what is the role of the Supreme Lord. So people who are put into illusion, they think that everything has been created by me, that I am Jagat Guru. I am the master of all this universe, the creator of all this universe. But actually, everything has been already created by the Supreme Lord. Just like the sun already gives the light, and taking that light, the moon and the stars, they also shine. Right, they reflect that light of sun, but the light has already been given by the sun. So same way, this whole creation has already been done by the Lord, and by just because of Lord's creation, by playing a little bit role in that, people think I am the creator. And then Lord Brahma offers his respectful prayers, glorification to the Supreme Lord. Tasmai namo bhagvate vasudevaya dhimahi yanmayaya durjaya mam vadanti jagadgurum. I offer my respectful obeisances to that Supreme Lord. Tasmai namo bhagvate vasudevaya dhimahi. I meditate on that Supreme Lord Vasudev. Yanmayaya durjaya mam vadanti jagadguru. Because of whose maya, by being covered up by his maya, people think, they speak of me as the creator. Mam vadanti jagadguru. So that is all. The influence of the Maya potency of the Supreme Lord. So Brahma is fully conscious of his actual position. He knows that how the less intelligent people, they are bewildered by the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord. They whimsically accept anyone and everyone as God. Right? That is the general tendency of people. They start thinking any ordinary person to be the Supreme Lord. Any some Baba, some Sadhu, they do some magic. And people, out of foolishness, they start claiming these Babas, these Sadhus as God. And these so-called Sadhus also, Babas also, they accept those glorification from these fool people who are just like animals. Such people who start claiming anybody and everybody at the level of God, scripture defines them as animals, like as the camel, the dog, hog. These people are compared to those animals because they don't have any intelligence to understand what is Supreme Lord and what is all these living conditioned entities. So these people are also foolish and so-called people who accept their glorification. And they also start thinking, yes, I am God. They are also foolish. So Brahma, he accepts the glorification of Narada, but told that whatever you spoke is because of illusion, Maya potency. Actually, I am not the supreme creator, the controller. There is my master, the Supreme Lord. He is the one who is the supreme creator. So Brahma is offering the prayers to the Supreme Lord, meditating on the Supreme Lord. Those who are bewildered by the Maya potency, they all talk nonsense because they are absorbed in the thoughts of aham and mama, I and mine, that I am such and such person, I am so powerful, I am so glorious, and this all belongs to me. People who are covered by Maya, they speak like that. Now, this is also a very important point to understand. When we say I and mine, aham and mama, this is not the word I, because that's a limitation of grammar. You cannot just remove the word I from your dictionary, that from today onwards, I will not use the word I itself. It's not just in the literal word I, because you have to use the word I when you are referring to yourself to tell somebody, to answer somebody. If somebody comes to you and asks you why you did this, and you want to answer, oh no, I did not do this, or I did this. So this word I is used, but the intention behind using that word I or mine, that is what matters. And there should not be the doership mentality behind that. That kartapan ka abhiman nahi hona chahiye usme. So by somebody's language, we cannot understand what is his real consciousness, real intention behind that. So we have to understand what is the real motive behind using that. Is he speaking out of pride, or is it just grammatically using that word I? So somebody's language, one can understand one is covered by Maya potency. The way somebody will speak, speaking of himself, that, oh, I am such and such person, I am so powerful or so great. So Brahma is saying, people, just hearing them speak, one can understand their consciousness, and one can understand if they are covered with Maya potency. And then Brahma starts speaking about this process of creation, how this whole process of creation actually happened. So Brahma says, let me tell you, first of all, this whole material world is made up of these different elements. Dravyam karma cha kalascha sabhava jiva eva cha vasudevat paro brahmana cha chanyo cha artho asti tatvatah. Let me tell you, this material world is made up of dravya. What is this dravya? We know the five elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether. That is dravya. Dravya karma, the action, the tendency to act. Kalascha, the time factor. There is nothing happen without the influence of time. So dravyam karmascha kalascha sabhava jiva evacha. Sabhava, the nature, and jiva, the living entity. So these are all the various ingredients which make up this whole material manifestation, material world. And these are all energies of Lord Vasudev. Vasudeva paro brahmanacha. These are all the separated energies of Lord Vasudev. He is the building block behind everything. So by using all these different objects, dravya karma kala sabhava jiva, everything in this world is made possible. And these are all created by the Supreme Lord. These are all His separated energies. So by combination of all these various elements, everything comes into picture. So different object can be made by combination of some raw material. And these raw material, all these different ingredients are used in different proportion. Right? So here Brahmaji is giving a brief synopsis of all creation, how all these different varieties are made possible in this world, that these are made up by these elements, by the different combination, different proportion of these elements. Somebody cannot say that to make something, everything has to be added in equal proportion. For example, when we do the cooking, right? If you want to make a paneer sabji, and you start thinking that I will add everything in the same proportion, I will add same quantity of paneer, same quantity of water, same quantity of potato, same quantity of salt, same quantity of chili, same quantity of turmeric. I will add everything in the same quantity. No, this doesn't work like that. So all the different things are made by these elements in proper proportion. As we say, there are 8.4 million species of life. And some species has more prominence of water element, some has more of air element, some has more of fire element. So everything is made possible by the different proportion of different things. And these ingredients, the raw material, has the potency, the ability to produce something. If these does not have the ability to produce, no matter how much you mix something, it will not produce anything. So the Supreme Lord has created all these raw materials, and by combination of the raw material, everything is made possible. If this raw material did not have the ability to produce something, it will not be made possible. So for example, the paneer, when you made that paneer sabji, the paneer has the ability to bring out certain taste. It's not that you take out paneer and you want to add anything, that I can add anything in this and it should give same taste. That will not happen. Rather than paneer, if you add the pieces of wood, cardboard, will it give the same taste? Will it give the texture of paneer? No, because the paneer has the ability to give that taste. That's how the taste comes. That's how this nice sabji manifests. So same way these elements, the dravya, karma, kala, sabhava, jiva, it has the ability for creation, for manifesting different things, and by using those ingredients in proper proportion, everything comes into picture. So same way, another example we can understand from the colors, where we know the three basic colors, red, green, yellow. So by adding those basic colors, RGY, one can, by adding in different proportion, one can create different colors. But those colors have the ability to produce a different color with a proper composition. So everything is made possible in this world by these elements which are the separated energies of the Supreme Lord. So in one verse, Brahma gives the nutshell summary. This whole creation comes from Lord Vishnu. He is the one who already creates, and I just take those objects and mix them. It's like Lord has produced all these objects. I bring those objects in my kitchen and put that into the pot and start cooking. It's not necessarily that Brahma has created everything. He is just using those ingredients to do the cooking. And before that also, Brahma is further going to explain in detail how this whole, all these elements also come into existence. Brahma further goes on to offering his wonderful prayers to Lord Vishnu, that he is the one behind everything and he is the one who need to be glorified. Brahma speaks about Narayana Para verses. Narayana Para Veda Deva Narayana Angajaha Narayana Para Loka Narayana Para Makaha Narayana Paro Yogo Narayana Param Tapaha Narayanam Param Jnanam Narayana Para Gatihi. So Brahma is speaking that Lord Narayana is everything. Narayana Para Veda, he is the source of all knowledge. Deva Narayana Angaja, all the different demigods are also the limbs of the Supreme Lord. Narayana Para Loka, he is the controller of all these planets, all these different lokas. Narayana Para Makha, he is the one who is to be pleased by all sort of yajnas. Narayana Paro Yogo, he is the ultimate beneficiary of all the yoga. If somebody is doing any sort of yogic siddhis, that is also to please the Supreme Lord Narayana. Narayanam Param Tapa, he is the one who is to be pleased by all sort of austerities. Narayanam Param Jnanam, all the knowledge should lead us to Supreme Lord Narayana. Narayana Paragati, ultimately Lord Narayana is the ultimate goal of life. So this Narayana Para verses is very significant verses actually. Glorifying the Supreme Lord, that behind all our activities, japa, tapa, jnana, yajna, study of scripture, everything, ultimate goal is Lord Narayana. And if you remember, these verses have already been spoken earlier. We studied these verses in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter of first canto. There also, Suta Goswami is describing these verses in glorification of the Supreme Lord when he is speaking to the sages of Nemesharanya. So he also spoke exact same verses. I will say exact same. Up to 80% it is same. The same meter, same sequence. Only difference is, rather than using the word Narayana, Sutta Goswami used the word Vasudeva. Ultimately, Vasudeva and Narayana both are same. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya or Om Namo Narayanaya. So ultimately, it's all addressing to the Supreme Lord. So these verses are spoken by Sutta Goswami earlier. First canto, second chapter, text 28-29. There also, Sutta Goswami described Vasudeva Para Veda, Vasudeva Para Makha, Vasudeva Para Yogo, Vasudeva Para Kriya, Vasudevam Param Jnanam, Vasudeva Param Tapaha, Vasudevo Paro Dharmo, Vasudeva Parahagati. Lord Vasudev is everything. So first canto, second chapter, text 28-29. And here, Brahma is speaking, second canto, fifth chapter, text 15 and 16. Very similar verses, because all the authorities, they know who is the controller, maintainer of everything, under whom we should surrender, to whom we should take shelter of. And all the scripture reveals that actually, in all the various scriptures, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Puranas, these things are mentioned again and again. Vasudeva is the goal of everything. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. In Bhagavad Gita also Lord Krishna speaks same thing, that Vasudev is everything. The intelligent person knows that Vasudev is the goal of life. Vasudev Para Veda, he is the ultimate object of knowledge. And Krishna speaks that in Bhagavad Gita, 15 chapter, 15 text. From me comes remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge. Matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Right, I am the source of all the knowledge, all the jnana. People try to do so much knowledge by doing all these various degrees, PhD degree, MBA, all these various master's degree, art and music and everything. For what purpose? Ultimate purpose of education should be to understand Vasudev. But if our education system itself is taking us away from Vasudev, what is the use of that education system? And all the different demigods, they are also the Anga, of Vasudev. They are also the part of the universal form of the Supreme Lord. And Vasudev Paramakha, people perform so many different yajñas, they try to please different Devi Devatas, that I am doing this yajña to please this Devata or this Devi. Ultimately, Vasudev, Lord Narayan, is the beneficiary of all these yajñas, Makha. Vasudev Paratapa. People perform different austerities, they try to do different fastings. I am doing this fasting for pleasing Lord Shiva, Sombar ka vrat hai, Mangalvar ka vrat hai, Shukravar ka vrat hai. Ultimately, all the austerities is to please Lord Vishnu. Vasudeva Param Tapaha. And Vasudeva Paragati. He is our ultimate goal, our ultimate shelter. So we should always try to increase our love towards Lord Vasudev. Increase our love towards Krishna. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches in his teachings. Prema Pumartho Muhan, that is the ultimate goal of life, to develop that love for the Supreme Lord. So what does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teach? Bolo Krishna, bhajo Krishna, karo Krishna shiksha, aprad shunya hoi loho Krishna naam, Krishna mata, Krishna pita, Krishna dhana pran. Krishna is my everything. Krishna is my father. Krishna is my mother. Krishna is my most dear friend. Speak about Krishna. Glorify Krishna. Tell others about Krishna. In that way, make your life successful. In that way, all your sinful tendencies, all your apradhas, offenses will be nullified. So that's how we should mold our lives, to keep Krishna in the center of our lives. Always glorifying the Lord, remembering the Lord. So after speaking this, Vasudeva para, Narayan para verses, finally Lord Brahma says, now I'm going to describe you actual process of creation, how this process of creation happens. I am only a secondary creator. I create what has already been created. So I use those things which has already been created by the Lord and use those to create. So there is two types of creation. One is sarga and second is visarga. Primary creation and secondary creation. So primary creation is creating all the objects needed for creating different varieties. And visarga is using those raw ingredients and further putting them together into proper proposition and composition to make different varieties. So sarga and visarga. So Narada is maybe thinking that, okay, maybe you create what is already created, you create after the Supreme Lord, but after that you are independent to create as you like. So you take all the ingredients and after that maybe you create as you like. So Brahma says, no, that is also not right. Actually, I create as per the inspiration of the Supreme Lord. I have no independence. I create whatever I am inspired by the Lord to create. Okay, so after getting inspiration, you create independently? Brahma says, no, after that also I don't create independently. I am controlled at every step. He is the overseer, the witness of everything. So Brahma is creating the secondary creation, visarga, at each step, under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So for the purpose of creation, Mahavishnu, Lord expands himself as Mahavishnu, also known as Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu, and he accepts the three modes of material nature for the purpose of creation. So now this process of creation is going to come in more detail, so we need to be very careful to understand this. Otherwise, it will all go from above your head. So this process of creation is explained at different levels in different degrees. Generally, we say, yes, process of creation happened. Lord expands as Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu. He lies down into the Karuna Daksha Sagar, right? Karan Sagar. And from the body pores of Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu, all these universes come out. So in one line, we describe the process of creation. And then Lord further expands as Garbhodaksha Vishnu and enters into each universe and then activates these universes. And then from his navel, a lotus, a proud, and Brahma is born on that. And then Brahma does the further creation. Right? So we describe this creation, two lines, all the creation is done, explained. So that is one way of explaining the creation in a very basic level. But now, this process of creation is going to come in much more detail. When Karanodakshaya Vishnu lies down on the Karan Sagar, till the point these universes come out from his body, what all goes into the detail? All that comes into picture. So just understand how this manifestation or this process of creation is explained at different points in Bhagavatam. It comes at three different times, in different degree, different level of explanation. Just like when you are in an elementary school and you want to understand the anatomy of the body, right? The teacher will explain the anatomy of the body very briefly. Just tell you the basic common limbs of the body. This is head, this is face, this is mouth, these are hands, these are legs, this is belly. So for a child, that is enough to understand the body parts. And when you go to the high school level, it goes in further more detail. You understand about the respiratory system, the digestion system, all the kidney and lungs and all these various things. Remember, if somebody is a student of a medical school, then the professor in medical school will teach even much more detailed level. It will go to the level of neurons and all these various veins and arteries and how the signals flow through the various nerves to various parts of the body. So it goes in much more detailed level. So same way in Bhagavatam, this process of creation is explained. If somebody is really interested to know this process of creation here, understand this in much more detailed level. But if somebody thinks, for me, this is enough. Karanodakshaya Vishnu, from his body pores, universes came out. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu entered into that. And then further creation happened. That's it. For me, that is enough. Yes, one can just be satisfied at that level. But here, Brahma is going to explain much more detail about this process of creation. So Karanodakshaya Vishnu, for the purpose of creation, he accepts the three modes of material nature. But he himself is not covered by these three modes. So even though he is accepting the three modes, it's not that he is covered by the modes. It is our vision which is covered by the three modes, and we are not able to understand the real position of the Lord. Just like the sun, right? When there are clouds in the sky, sometimes we say, the sun is covered by the clouds. Actually, that is not true. The size of the sun is huge and the size of the cloud is very tiny in front of the sun. Actually, if we see, the cloud cannot cover the sun. What does cloud do is, cloud covers our eyes, our vision. And we think sun is covered. So same way, these three modes, they cover our vision, not the Supreme Lord. We are covered by the three modes. So Lord is not visible to the living entity being covered up by the three modes of nature. And he accepts these three modes for the purpose of creation. So this whole description of Sarga, right, that is the primary creation by the Supreme Lord. And the Sarga also happens in two divisions. There are two parts of Sarga. One is Karana Srishti, making the ingredients needed for the whole purpose of creation. As in the example of making the sabji, right? So having all those ingredients to prepare that sabji. So that is Karana Srishti, making the ingredients. And then there is Kriya Srishti. Kriya Srishti is mixing the ingredients. So these are both things come under Sarga. So the Lord, who is controller of his own Maya Shakti, he is known as Mayapati. For the purpose of creation, he first brings out three of his energies. Kal, Karma and Sabhava. We earlier said five objects, right? Five things. So here it describes, Lord first brings out the three of these objects, kal, karma, and sabhav, nature. So three of these five things are manifested by the Supreme Lord, who is Mayapati. So the time gives rise to the three modes. Under the influence of time, these three modes, the goodness, passion, ignorance are manifested. And the combination of these three modes is known as Pradhan. So in this process of creation, you will hear different terminology. Pradhan. Pradhan is the mixture of these three modes, where these three modes are in equal proportion. But at this stage, in the stage of Pradhan, even though these three modes are created, but they are still in unmanifested stage. They have not started acting yet. So just like imagine that you want to make the sabji and you want to get all those ingredients, and all those ingredients are locked down in the storehouse, in the godown. So you go to the godown, but you don't have access to the ingredients. It is locked, and the person who has the key to that godown has not come yet. So even though all the ingredients is there, but it is still not accessible. So the Lord, based on His time energy, manifests the three modes, but these three modes are yet in unmanifested stage, locked stage. That is called Pradhan. And then with the influence of Maya Shakti, the nature, Sabhav, and Karma, this Pradhan is activated. This is brought into manifested stage. That is called Mahatattva. So Pradhan is the mixture of three modes in unmanifested stage, and Mahatattva is the mixture of all these elements, the three modes of material nature, time, karma, and sabhav, which has manifested it now. The godown has been opened now. So you go to bring all those ingredients, the person who has the key has come, he has opened the godown, and you have access to those objects, those ingredients. So with the Maya Shakti, by the glances of the Supreme Lord, this Pradhan is activated, it comes into the stage of Mahatattva. Just like in the scientific theory, how do we understand, based on what does science say about this process of creation? So based on science, they say, all of a sudden there was a big bang and all these things manifested. Or they say there was a whole cosmic soup in the way it was like all in a form of soup, and then there was a lightning on it, and based on that everything came into existence. So that is like the state of Mahatattva. By the glances of the Supreme Lord, which is like the lightning on this Pradhan, this whole thing is activated, Mahatattva. And then when Mahatattva is activated by the glances of the Lord, it gives further rise to Ahankar. The first object created is ego, Ahankar. And this Ahankar is also of three types, three categories. The Ahankar in the mode of passion, Ahankar in the mode of goodness, and Ahankar in the mode of ignorance. Also, this is also called the Adibhuta, known as Dravya Shakti of the Supreme Lord, which is Tamsa Ahankar, Ahankar in the mode of ignorance. Adhyatma, which is also Kriya Shakti of the Lord, also called Rajas Ahankar. And Adideva, the Jnana Shakti of the Lord, also called Sattvik Ahankar. So Mahatattva manifests into three categories: Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Jnana Shakti. And from these three, the further elements are created. So from Dravya Shakti, which is Tamsa Ahankar, so the first element is created. So the Dravya Shakti, we know, right? Dravya Shakti, the five elements of material nature: ether, air, fire, water, and earth. So in that sequence. So from the most subtle to the gross element, that is the sequence. So the most subtle out of all these five elements is ether, or also we call sky. So the first element which is created from Dravya Shakti is the ether element. And by the transformation from that ether element comes the subtle form, the quality of sound. So from the ether, the subtle quality of sound is manifested. And with the further transformation of ether, the next element is produced, which is air. And air has the subtle form or the subtle quality of touch. Because of air, the quality of touch manifests. And it also has the previous quality of the previous element from which this particular element manifested. So air manifested from the transformation of ether. So it has the quality of ether also, the quality of sound. So air has the both qualities of touch and sound. And by the further transformation of air element comes the next element, which is further less subtle, the element of fire. And fire has the subtle form, the subtle quality of form, shape. And because it manifested from air, it has the qualities of touch and sound also. And by the further transformation of fire, Lord produced the element of water, which is less subtler. It comes to the level of gross element now. Water, which has the subtle form or the quality of taste. Because of water comes the quality of taste. And it has the other qualities also of the form, touch and sound. And by the further transformation of water, produce the element earth. And earth has the subtle form, the quality of smell. And because it manifested from water, it has the previous qualities also of taste, form, touch and sound. So all these relative elements have their own qualities. So for example, fire has the quality of form, sound and touch. But fire does not have the quality of taste. So you can see the fire. Fire has some shape. Fire has a sound also. When the fire burns, it has a sound form quality also. And it has the quality of touch also. But it doesn't have the quality of taste. It's not that you put the fire in your mouth and you get some sensation of taste. So these elements are created by the transformation of Dravya Shakti, which is Tamsa Ahankar. And then from the Kriya Shakti, which is Rajas Ahankar, from that the Lord manifested intelligence and the prana and the 10 senses. And these 10 senses are at the subtle senses. It's not the gross senses of what we see as our ear or nose or eyes. So the Lord created intelligence, prana and the 10 senses, which are at subtle level. And these 10 senses are 5 Karmendriya and 5 Gyanendriya. So what are these 10 senses which we say as subtle senses? So here the senses are described as Shrotram Tvak Grahan Drag Jivaha Vak Dhor Medhan Angari Payavaha. So Shrotram, the sense of hearing. So Shrotra is the sense of hearing, not our physical ears. Tvaka is the sense of touch, not our real hands, but the sense of touch. Ghrana, the sense of smell, not the physical nose. Dhruk, the sense of seeing. And then Jibha, the sense of tasting. So these are the 5 subtle Gyanendriya, knowledge acquiring senses. And then 5 subtle Karmendriya, Vak, Dhor, Medhar, Anghari, Payavaha. So vak is the sense of speech. Because of speech, we do some action. So that is karmendriya, the power of the sense of speech. And then doha is the sense of handling, the ability to handle something, ability to lift something. That is doha, the sense of handling. And then medhara is the genitals, which is also karmendriya. And the anghari, the sense of moving. And paivaha, the sense of evacuating. So these are the 10 subtle senses, 5 karmendriya and 5 gyanendriya. And we heard about these earlier also when Lord's universal form was described. Right, at that time also, because we heard the different demigods who are the different limbs of the Lord's body, they are in charge of the various senses. So at that time we briefly discussed these subtle senses. So these subtle senses, along with the intelligence and prana, are created by the Kriya Shakti of the Lord. And then through the Jnana Shakti, which is the Sattvic Ahankar, Lord manifests the mind and the sense devatas, the controller of these senses. So these controller of the senses are the 10 direction, Varuna, Agni, Vayu, Surya, Ashwini Kumaras, Mitra, Prajapati, Indra. So these controller of various sense activities, sense organs are created. So from Pradhan comes Mahatattva. By the transformation of Mahatattva comes Ahankar, ego. And this ego is 3 types, Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. Tamsa Ahankar, Rajasa Ahankar, Sattvika Ahankar. And from these further comes the 5 element along with their subtle objects. Comes the subtle senses, intelligence and pranavayu. Comes the mind and the controller of these senses. So up to this things have been created by the Supreme Lord with His Maya Shakti. So this is all part of Lord's Kriya Shakti or Karan Srishti. So Karan Srishti is bringing out all the ingredients. Now all these ingredients have been created. One need to bring those ingredients from the godown into the kitchen and mix up those ingredients. So Lord, with His Maya potency, finally mixes up all these ingredients. So all these ingredients are mixed together, and that is what we see the different universes come out of the body of Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. That is, after mixing up all these ingredients, Lord has created these universes. But after even creating the universes, this is still not active yet. The final product has not come out yet. So when you are doing the cooking in the kitchen, so you brought all the ingredients, you put it onto the shelf next to the stove, you take a pan, put it onto the stove, and you start putting the ingredients into the pot. But as soon as you put the ingredients into this pot, does the final dish manifest immediately? It takes some time for the cooking process to complete, and then the final products come out. So same way, the Lord mixed together all these ingredients, so this universe has come out, but it is still not the final product. So Brahma described, even after that, that mixing up of the ingredient is called Kriya Srishti of the Lord. So after creating all the ingredients, Lord mixed those ingredients also, but still this was not the final product. All these universes stayed, came out of the pores of the Karana Dakshaya Vishnu and floated onto the Karan Sagar for 1,000 years without any further manifestation happening. So you can say that is the time period for all these ingredients are put into the pot, cooking going on, the final product is taking time to manifest. So after that, for making the final product, making all these universe activated, the Lord enters into each universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So He manifests His one further form as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and enters into each universe. And what does Lord do after entering into each universe? So the Lord entered into each universe, and now He is thinking, what is my resting place? And then He starts to sweat with His own Maya Shakti potency. And with that sweat, He fills up the half universe with that water. That is called Garbhodak Sagar. So the half of the universe is filled with the sweat of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then he lies on to that Garbhodak Sagar, onto the Ananta Sesh, and all these different planetary systems are manifested. So that is all part of Lord's primary creation, Sarga. So Brahma is saying this is all done by Lord. So my role is not there anywhere up to this point. So Brahma will further continue. Up to this, Brahma described that Lord created all these universes, and then entering into universes, further he put together all the planetary system also within this universe. And then Brahma further gives again a brief overview of Lord's universal form, which we heard earlier also when Shukdev Goswami was describing Dhyan Yoga process, right? The Dhyan Yogi, how they meditate on to the Virat Rupa of the Lord. So Brahma is again taking opportunity to describe the Virat form of the Lord, the universal form of the Lord, how all the different planetary system into each universe is part of Lord's body. So he says, the Brahmanas represent the mouth of the Lord, the Kshatriyas are his arms, and the Vaishyas are his thighs. The Shudras are born of his legs. So all the different divisions of Varnana Ashrama, they are also part of the different parts of the universal form of the Lord. And all these planets, say there are 14 different planetary systems, right, from the lowest to the topest in each universe. They are also situated into the universal form of the Lord. And some people describe these 14 planetary systems into 3 divisions. The lower planetary system, the middle planetary system, and the upper planetary system. Right, that is again a brief description or a basic description of the universal form. That there is a lower planetary system which is represents the legs of the universal form of the Lord. The middle planetary system represents the navel region of the universal form of the Lord. And the top planetary system represents the chest region of the Lord. But within the lower planetary system, there are many different divisions. Within the middle planetary system, there are different divisions. Within the higher planetary system, there are different divisions. So what is that different division? So it describes, if you go further, within the lower planetary system, there are multiple planets. Patal, Rasatal, Mahatal, Talatal, Sutal, Atal. So like that, there are different planetary systems. So the Patal is situated in the sole of the foot of the Lord. Bhagwan ke pairon ke tale ke andar jo Patal situated hai. Rasatal is the toes and the top part of the Lord's foot. And Mahatal is the ankles of the Lord's universal form. Talatal are the ankles. Talatal are the lower legs. Sutal are the knees of the universal form of the Lord. And Atal Vital are the thighs of the universal form of the Lord. So put together, all these comprise the lower planetary system, which are the legs of the universal form of the Lord. And then comes the middle planetary system, which has the Bhulok and Bhuvarlok. Bhulok is, which is our earth planetary system also. And higher than that is Bhuvarlok. And these are situated in the navel region. Specifically, the Bhulok is the hips of the universal form of the Lord. And Bhuvarlok is the navel region of the universal form of the Lord. And then comes the higher planetary system. The Swargalok, Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, and Satyalok, they are from the chest region to the head of the Lord. So the Swargalok is situated in the chest. Maharlok is the neck of the Lord. Janalok is situated in the mouth region. Tapalok is the forehead of the Lord. And Satyalok, the region of Brahma, is the head of the universal form of the Lord. So actually, all the universes, all the planets within each universe are also comes out from the Lord, which are filling up each universe. Within each universe, there is 14 planetary system. And another description is, all those planets are situated within this universe into their perfect position by Anantasesh onto his various hoods. So Anantasesh has thousands and thousands of mouths, thousands and thousands of hoods, and all these different planets are situated on the head of different hoods of Anantasesh. And this is how they stay in their perfect position in the orbit. So that is also the strength of the Lord. Right? We say these planets are situated because of gravity, right? Gurutvakarshan. But the Lord describes that that is my energy, my potency, because of which all these different planets are staying in their perfect position, in their perfect orbital situation. So up to this point, Brahma has explained the process of creation, Sarga of the Supreme Lord, that how the Lord creates all these various elements, ingredients necessary for creation of different shapes and forms. So the creation of the different living entities, different species of life has not come, because that is part of Visarga. That is done by Brahma. So Brahma takes all these ingredients, put them into proper composition, proper proportions, and create various species of life. So Brahma is like the artist who takes the color into different proportion and paints on the canvas and gives a perfect nice painting. So Brahma creates various species of life, the human being, the different Gandharvas and Chanaras and the animals and birds and all that. So he creates these various shapes. And all these shapes by itself are also not activated until Lord puts the Jiva Shakti into each these shape and form and makes them activated. So in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, fifth chapter, Brahma is describing the creation of the Supreme Lord, the Sarga part of the creation. And further he will continue describing this creation moving forward, which is described in the next chapter of Bhagavatam. Further goes into describing little bit more further. So we'll continue this study of Srimad Bhagavatam, the process of creation. It's a very wonderful description to understand how the whole creation happens. At the same time, it's very technical also. But if somebody is not very interested in hearing all those details, it's perfectly fine. We can understand just at the basic level and move on. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you very much. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free to add.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, Karma Avatar here. Dandavat Pranam to all the assembled devotees as well. Prabhu thoda late joined kiya tha. So which section will we be doing today? I missed that, Prabhu.
So this is the second canto of the chapter. The process of
five. Thank you, Prabhu. Bro, bahut badhiya tha, Prabhu. Interesting tha. I didn't know all this was laid out and described in such great detail.
Yes, when we move into the third canto of Bhagavatam, we'll hear again all these descriptions, maybe even to a higher level. We'll go one step further higher.
Awesome. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare
Krishna. Mr. Prabhu, I have one question.
Yes, Prabhu.
In the Jnana Padakriya,
Jnana Shakti.
When Lord creates the mind and control of consciousness, so Mahavishnu already created demigods before creating.
See, these are also the in charge. Yes, these demigods, controller of the senses. They have not manifested in their form yet.
Is that the new potency of the demigods?
Yes, this is the potency of the demigods. Let me mute everybody. So these are the representation of the demigods at a certain level. He has created these controllers, not in activated state yet. Because after Brahma has come out, then he will bring up the forms of these demigods. Brahma, from Brahma comes Rudra, and then he creates all the demigods. But this is the representation of demigods who are the controller of all the various senses.
So, now, Lord Shiva is created after Brahma, or is coming from Lord Shiva?
See, Lord Shiva in his original sense, in the spiritual world, right, he is also a transformation of Mahavishnu. But within the universe, for that job of destructor, destroyer, Shiva is created from Brahma. Okay. And Rudra, right? He comes out from the anger of Brahma.
Okay. That part comes next time.
That will come later on. All these descriptions come at various levels in Bhagavatam. Who comes after, who comes first. So this is, at this particular point, it's describing who is the creator. Brahma is first of all clarifying that doubt. I am not the creator. Understand that. I am just the secondary creator. And my role is of more of an engineer, not of as a owner of everything. Right? So that is what Brahma is clarifying, and he is clarifying or describing the process of Sarga, the process of creation by the Supreme Lord.
So just to understand this, Mahavishnu is on Karma Sagar. And Garbhodaya Krishna in Garbha Sagar.
That is within the universe. So let's say there are innumerable universes, right? For example, let's say there are million universe, and then Mahavishnu expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and enters into each universe, right? That is Vishnu, which we know as in general as a Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, or just the name as Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu enters into each universe, and from him Brahma comes out. So Brahma is a firstborn living entity. Brahma is not at the level of the Supreme Lord. He is addressed as living entity, Jiva. He is also part of Lord's Jiva Shakti.
So how to understand this independence between the Karma Ocean and the Garbha Ocean? How to understand this? Completely different.
So basically, you take one bubble, which is floating inside the bucket. And within the bubble also, there is half, it's filled with water. So within the bubble, what water is there, that is Garbhodak Sagar. But the bubble itself, which is in the bucket or in the tub, all that water in the tub, that is Karan Sagar. So there is a balloon, which is floating in the tub. Right? The tub is like the Karan Sagar. And the balloon itself is also half filled with water. The water within the balloon is Garbhodak Sagar.
Yeah, there is a layer between.
Okay. So there is a covering which is separating the Garbhodak Sagar and Karan Sagar. And if you remember, we have discussed this pastime of Vamandev so many times. Right? When Vamandev came and he measured the universe in 2 footsteps. To destroy the pride of Bali Maharaj. So in 2 steps he measured the whole universe. And then his foot pierced through the covering of the universe. And from that covering, the water from the Karan Sagar started entering inside the universe, which is Ganga, the river Ganga. So just imagine the balloon which is floating in the tub. If you put a little poke, a little hole in the balloon, and the water from the tub starts entering into the balloon.
That means the balloon is completely filled up water.
For the lower part of the balloon, which is floating on the water, right?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
So hope it clarifies.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else has any question or comment? Anybody on the Facebook Live, if somebody has any questions, comments?
No question. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Vishal, for detailed knowledge of the
Hare Krishna. So the purpose of understanding this is to understand the glories of the Lord. Right? Even though we may not understand all these technical details, but just hearing that, you know, what is our position in front of the Lord? We are so tiny. All we should do is take shelter of the Supreme Lord, surrender unto Him and glorify Him. Vasudeva Paramgati. He is our ultimate shelter. He is our ultimate goal. So that's what we need to understand. So thank you very much. Granthraj Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.